hey, I know, Looper, I know you're here for a specific reason, because you like intellectual escapism. Well, I have something for you. Coming this weekend, March 27th through the 29th, Watchers Talk presents Forgery Unmasked. Yes, I, your host Craig Bornstein, am going to be there. But if you want to know what this is all about, this is a full team of researchers and educators who have dedicated their lives to the alternative, the quote-unquote fringe. Yes, we're talking a full weekend of speakers, lectures, Q&As, panels, with deconstructing subjects and topics such as our extraterrestrial history, hidden codes within holy books, previous civilizations, Atlantis, ancient Egypt, conscious living through nutrition, exercise and yoga, conscious music, the mysteries of our moon, forbidden archaeology, and much, much more throughout the three-day conference. I'm going to be there. Previous guests of this show are going to be there. Augie Nost, Evan and Stephen Strong, Omar Fazy, Rodney McGilvery, Michael Feely, people who blew my mind several times in this show, and this weekend is dedicated to sharing knowledge, some that's never been shared before. Definitely check it out. It's in the show notes. Forgery Unmasked. 28 speakers and $33.33 for a three-day virtual conference. I've been seeing a lot of $97 conferences, $197, $33.33 for this amount of quality. Brad Olson's going to be there. If you don't know Brad Olson, he's one of the people that went to Antarctica to see the Nazi UFO base. It's going to be wild. Check it out. Forgery Unmasked. And say hi. I can't wait to see you there. And we now return to our irregularly scheduled, irregular program.
Open loops.
Open loops. Open loops.
Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Hey, everybody. Greg Bornstein here. I am a cultural hypnotist, curator of experience, and consciousness disruptor. Today's episode is an airing of a pre-recorded podcast because it was done live as a quote-unquote debate, though we really couldn't stick to any format, on Facebook. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special edition of Open Loops. I'm so honored to have two gentlemen who've been on the show before coming here live. Of course, in the left corner, we have David Daniel Gonzalez, the host of Mystic Skeptic Radio Podcast. And then in the right corner, we have Rob Yox of Full Spectrum Universe. Yes. These two gentlemen, they come from different sides of the coin. We have David on the left side, who's much more of the skeptical rational point of view, skeptical rational. And then Rob, who's a little more fringe, a little more conspiratorial. Look, they both have fundamental views of the way the world works. And tonight, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Gentlemen, David, Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, bro. I'm excited. Ready to get some messages out to people and show people what actual civil discourse looks like and how we can have a conversation. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, I've always said that if we are going to be having a discussion about this kind of stuff, I think both sides need to be heard just as much. You can't just say Pizzagate is something you debunk. You actually have to go inside the intricacies of it from both angles. You can't just point blank dismiss anything. And hey, I also think on the other side, QAnon is popular. Let's really dive into what they're saying as opposed to, yeah, just dismissing it. And if it's garbage, hey, let's throw it all out. So that said, here's the way it's going to work tonight. I'm going to ask a question. Each of these gentlemen will have 2 minutes to present their initial arguments, and then we will have rebuttals. There was no coin flip here. It was nothing like that. I'm just going to sort of feel it out because I have a good, yeah, I promise to remain as balanced as possible. And I feel like this could be an interesting way to go into this. I'm going to start with first question is going to go to David Daniel Gonzalez. David, and Rob, you can respond to this as well after. Could you please tell me who, in your view, wrote the Bible? 2 minutes, beginning now.
That's an easy one, Greg. Way to go. You know, this is where my perspective is split, and you can say that I'm schizophrenic, but that's why it's called mystic and skeptic, because you have the rationalist view and then you have the experiential view, and I try to fuse them together when it comes down to theology. So in my experience, I have lived a life that I've seen glimpses of the divine. And when someone came to me and gave me a Bible and said, "This is the word of God," I had to read it first before I could make that assumption. So when I read it, I saw things that they were out of the ordinary. They weren't per se supernatural. And I'm talking about the words themselves or the wisdom. They were out of the ordinary. They weren't, I wasn't struck by heaven with a lightning and saw visions the moment that I touched the Bible. I saw a kind of understanding and wisdom and love that passed, but it's all from a human experience. So it's not that you pick up the book and you know, I hate to disparage the Book of Mormon or other revelations, that somehow it has all the answers or the person who has experienced the revelation can see things clearly. It's more like each individual that reads the Bible gets a specific message from it. And if you go back to the people who created it, they had a particular connection with a source that was out of the ordinary for them. So if you look at religious anthropology, you would say, well, every culture, every tribe in the world had some type of way of describing their experience with the universe. And it's like, yeah, but the Bible has a very unique message. And
well, that is 2 minutes. Sorry, do you want to finish that thought? You want to finish that thought before we go to Rob?
So even if you look at other cultures, I think that God, through the prophets, convey a message, but it was the humans who wrote it. It was the prophets who wrote it.
Humans, prophets who wrote it. Rob, your response. Begin.
Well, one of the things that I want to preface first is that the Bible is a book of teaching. So basically, when you're interpreting the Bible, when you look at the verses, how it was written, it was written in a subjective way that you can essentially put it to your life at any given time. Doesn't make a difference. But to me, the Bible is a record. You know, it's a almost like a history book back for that time. And what that means to me is that some of the stories within the Bible predate the Abrahamic religions. They are passed down all the way from the ancient Sumeria and up. You know, when they talk about Jesus in the Bible, there is an ancient Chinese story that is exactly the same with somebody being resurrected. The name has changed. There's an ancient Sumerian tale, and there's a Sanskrit tale that tells exactly the same thing. So it is through the perception of different cultures as it goes on, but it becomes a collaboration. One of the things that gets me about this, specifically the Bible, is that at the Council of Nicaea, they decided to take specific verses out of the Bible instead of putting them all together. There was two separate Councils of Nicaea. So there was two times that things were redacted from the full experience of what the Bible was. So to me, the Bible was written by man, and it was seen as life lessons that you go through on a daily basis in those ancient times. But it's also, you know, general enough that it relates now too. You know, my connection with God is not so much in the preface of a specific religion. I see God as my higher power, and I do business with him right here in my house. I don't need to go to a church or read a Bible or his word, but it's like a code of morality, I guess you could say. You know, that's where we get the Ten Commandments, is where we get a lot of our laws as a civil society. So, I mean, it was definitely written by man in that
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that's 2 minutes. David, I was going to go into this a little bit. I'm curious what your thoughts are on the Sumerian mythology and this, because that is something that's frequently brought up in the community of the fringe, the new age, this conspiratorial idea that the Jesus myth is something that's repeated over and over again. Do you have a response to that or anything else Rob said?
Well, this idea that there are many other faiths or cultures that have similar stories than Jesus, it's very subjective, because if you watch the Side Guys film, he makes all these wild claims that none of them can be proven. And if you study Egyptian or any other religions, there are very small connections or similarities, but there's nothing specific or close. And when you look at the Sumerians, I tell people that Judaism or Israelite religion comes from the Babylonians, because Abraham was a Sumerian or Chaldean that left and had those visions with God. So it's a derivative religion, but it's also a religion that it is antagonistic and does almost like a diatribe against the Babylonian religions. If you study, they purposely want to deny the pantheon and the creation story of the Babylonians and set themselves as unique. So you see that a lot, and even Jesus is very particularistic on the way that he views the world compared to other groups. So it's intellectually dishonest to claim that there are more similarities and differences when you actually look at the text.
Rob, do you have a response to that?
Well, when you say that, but you actually agreed with what I said, in the sense that they take certain aspects of those stories, and what do? They move them forward and progress them. They take pieces of what those stories were, and hence that being the same story as Jesus. Just like when you're looking at all the different cultures that are around the world, they all talk about a great flood. So there's certain points in time that come together. They're just related in, I guess, in a different way, or come from a different angle, but the characters still remain the same. There was still somebody in the ancient Sumerian text that rose from the dead. He was still there, and he was the son of the all-knowing God, not just the God. There was a deity, multiple deities at the time. So it's very similar. It's very similar. You can find the correlation. You just got to look for it.
If I can say one point related to that.
Yeah, sure.
It would be the same as saying, you know, the Romans and the Greeks created the democracy, and then the church took over, and then the empires, and then the French Revolution, and then the American Constitution. They're all working on top of each other, but they're all moving further away from the original. You can say that the founding fathers went back to the Roman and Greek Republic and used some of those values, but it's pushing away. It's not like the whole idea is that you're giving people rights or you're giving leadership to certain individuals, but they're all different systems. And although they have certain connections, they're working against each other to build on something better or more, more developed. So we can talk about that later if you want.
Well, look, I did want to sort of move into this next topic. Everything's pretty civil so far, which I like. But I am curious about, let me start with Rob on this one. You have certainly, I mean, look, we are both, Rob and I, full disclosure, are appearing at this conference, Forgery Unmasked, put together by Omar Fazy, March 27th through the 29th. And there is a lot, there are going to be a lot of people here who are talking about aliens specifically. And a lot of, there's a mythology in people in this alternative thought movement about the Anunnaki and the Sumerian legend, and this idea that if you look at the tablet, it says this origin story about aliens and Mars and stuff like that. Let's start with Rob. Rob, what do you believe about the Anunnaki and the accuracy of that being the story of our creation? 2 minutes.
I don't believe that that's the accurate story at all.
Really?
The gentleman who wrote those books was also known to have translated that specific, the tablets themselves, and he was wrong. He didn't know what he was doing. He was embellishing stories upon what the actual text said. So there, I don't believe there's any connection to the Anunnaki and all that Nibiru, stuff like that. There's no way to really sit down and look at it and say, okay, that's where that says that. It doesn't. It's all an embellishment. So, I mean, is there an alien connection? Possibly, but I'm not one to say that because I really don't know. I can speculate, but in all honesty, to look at that, that gentleman was absolutely wrong. I forget it. Zachariah Sitchin. That was his name. Absolutely wrong. He's already been disproven.
Yeah.
He's already been disproven.
What do you think is enduring about that? Why are people still holding on to the Anunnaki and this Sumerian myth?
Well, it's a good story. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great story. It's if you're a storyteller, but that's just not the truth. It's not. It's just not translated correctly. And what happens is when you start embellishing these types of stories, this is where these people go off the deep end. You have to hone that back. When I do stuff, I like to vet the information. So he's the only one who actually looked at this information. So no matter what he said, it's all conjecture. Until there's a second person that really tries to translate exactly what it says. But also at the same time, we don't have this this code that they were using to decipher from. So even their translation is a guess at best. There's no key to decipher exactly what's on those tablets. They're speculating what those symbols mean.
Very interesting. Not the answer I thought I'd get from you. Do you have any thoughts on that, David, Daniel?
Well, I want to thank my colleague, Rob, for helping some of my points by what he's sharing, because the reason that Zachariah Sitchin has been debunked is because a professor that I had on my show, Michael Heiser, took the time to show that all his translations were poorly done and that he wasn't even an expert on the subject. So it takes people who are actual meticulous and using the systems that we know, such as language interpretation and academia and all that, to be able to bring light things that are leading people in the wrong direction. If you just make it all subjective and it's like, well, I like that guy's interpretation. And I had a professor who said, you can interpret the Bible, the Talmud, the Quran, anything, any way you want. And that's fantastic. But that's a creative thing that you're doing. It's not consistent with what the thing says. So being creative is not a problem. As an artist, when you are twisting things, manipulating things, and making them say what you want, that's when you're creating confusion and building up a false narrative. And what is the ultimate goal of these false narratives other than to sell books, to get people excited about stuff that is kind of out there? And as human beings, we're all experiencing the world at the same time. And we would like for us to use the same rules. If you send someone to Mars and they're going because they know that there's aliens over there, they're going to do certain things differently than someone who might not be sure or someone who doesn't believe in them. So you bring your beliefs with you wherever you go. But once you start dealing with scientific stuff, your beliefs don't matter. What matters is what brings about the same resolution or the same final objective. And I think that as communicators, we should have a common language. We should have the same search for truth, that we don't lead people into rabbit trails that can cause some type of almost like mental health crisis because you think that everybody's trying to get you.
Okay, so then let's go into this. I appreciate that answer. I'm curious then, because I know Rob has definitely interviewed these people. Right now there are 16 seasons of Ancient Aliens, 193 episodes of this show. It's been criticized as pseudoscience, pseudohistory, pseudoarchaeology. Is it all fake? And if not, what is the value coming out of that show?
Are you asking me or David?
I'll start with you, Rob. What do you think is there any truth to it? And if so, what is that truth?
That's tough to say too, but I think that there is definitely some truths to it, whether it's all true, half truth. That leaves it up for discussion, because there it goes into translations again. It's not something that they know specifically, but from cave paintings and things that I've seen, you know, there's a lot of different types of things that look like light bulbs and spaceships, and they can be interpreted that way. Absolutely. I do believe a lot more in the Ancient Alien type of that mode of thinking, but the Anunnaki, I don't think, falls into that mode. I think that was just, like you said before, poorly translated, and I said the same thing. But there is value to it. There is value, because not only is it something that it's their creative stories, it's also their religion at that point, because all of these things that they're talking about, all these visitors they're talking about, are their deities, you know? And that goes into ancient Egypt. There's one moment where all of that comes into play, which is where there's Ra, there's Akhenaten, and then there's Tutankhamun. Right. So if you're looking at all of these cave paintings or all of these different writings, they show all the pharaohs that are supposed to be like the closest thing to God as these big, burly men who are all buff. Right. But then when you get to Akhenaten, it's actually pot-bellied, long face. He doesn't look human. He doesn't. Maybe, you know, he's got a very long chin. It looks almost like that. And then his son is the same way. But there are translations that Zawi Hawass himself has gone through to actually, like, he vindicated and verified a lot of what those things say. He was the head Egyptologist in Cairo for many, many years. And he didn't maybe so believe that, but he translated what he translated, and it says what it says.
So you believe there is evidence from Egypt that points to a highly likely chance that there could have been alien presence here?
More of an advanced civilization. Maybe not so much that it's absolutely an alien thing, but there's definitely an advanced civilization. They literally have a light bulb in the Great Pyramid. It's a filament. It's got glass on it. And I believe to get to that point, there was either a greater knowledge of the Earth's energies, how do all these people have the stars and the constellations they have no idea what they're looking at. And they could tell you how many times Saturn rotates around the Earth or around the sun, how many times they pass each other in rotation.
All right. I'm sure, David, you have thoughts on this. Go ahead.
If you gentlemen don't mind me sharing an image, the image I wanted to show has to do with the story I want to share. So let me see if I can get it to work.
Because I definitely know, David, you have a lot of thoughts about this whole ancient advanced civilization theory.
Yeah, and I want to relate it to this thing that happened to me as I was a kid. So I was coming out of high school, and I saw a flyer on the ground. And the flyer had a similar image than this one.
It's not in the stream anymore.
So the image is the following. Sorry, guys. So
try and make it full screen so it doesn't have us on the side there. Otherwise, it's going to start going into each other.
Oh, whoa.
See? Whoa. Hold on. I'm going to remove it from the stream real quick.
So it's okay. So I was coming out of high school.
You still there?
Background. Image of the Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Heavenly Jerusalem. Wait.
It was coming down. Good. So it was coming down from heaven like a spaceship. It was like a mothership. And
oh, okay.
Next to it was
okay.
A picture of Jesus. And then it had all these soldiers with the number 666 on their helmet. And I was like, I could have gone this route. I could have said, wow, they finally figure it out. The image from Ezekiel of the heavenly Jerusalem coming down and taking over for the physical Jerusalem is actually a mothership. And Jesus is a transcendental, transdimensional being, or the Messiah figure ends up being an alien force that is coming to destroy the wickedness of man and all this stuff. And I could have gone that route and start thinking about the Raelians and Heaven's Gate and David Koresh and all these people who have taken a very creative approach to the Bible, and they've done crazy stuff like castrating themselves so they can be pure enough so the comet would take them, or the Raelians have mixed a swastika with the Star of David, or you know, start picking a fight with the government. You can take any idea and you can run with it and build a case against any system, but that's why you have to have some sense of bringing you down to earth. I remember there is a YouTube show called Debunking Ancient Aliens, and they show that light bulb that you guys talk about is actually an egg, and there's a snake inside of it, and it's coming out of a tree. So the mythological images of the Egyptians are hard to decipher. Why would there be a snake that looks like a filament, and why would there be a circle around it? They had this idea that someone was having rebirth through a plant, and it was a snake or the god of snakes. And to take a shot of that and then build this whole idea that they had batteries and they had light and they had all this stuff, it again goes back to creative interpretation of images without any physical evidence other than that image that you found in a book or that you build the system around it.
Interesting. That is an interesting stance.
I would actually like to counter that.
Yeah, so, let's hear it.
So you're taking this information off of a random YouTube channel that you have no idea what their qualifications are to interpret what they're looking at, and you're going to say that is not conceptually right, or it's not, you know, well, I'm not saying that what I was saying was fact, but you're taking something that's conjecture from somebody else and then claiming that to be exactly what it is. What if that video was doctored? So they have something to put out there as in content that contradicts what you're seeing on mainstream TV.
What do you think? That's an interesting point.
Well, they did a zoom out and they showed the rest of the image. So
how many views did this YouTube channel have?
I really don't know where to go.
I mean, how many subscribers? How many views? Is it just an abstract or obscure YouTube channel? Because, I mean, even then, it's still not, because it's not verified. It's just because somebody on YouTube said it doesn't make it true.
Right. But then you have 30 guys who are part of the production team that do Ancient Aliens, and it's the same thing. So if you study Egyptian mythology, there are a lot of strange symbols that it takes time to figure out what they are, and it makes sense that it would be one of the many birth stories of one of their gods.
Absolutely true, but you can't say what I'm saying isn't correct if you're taking that and saying that you're correct, or that's right and mine isn't. That's what we're getting at. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, who said what. You're taking it from the same frame that I am and then calling yours intellectually sound and mine not. Can't do that.
Well, Greg, would you like to keep going, or would you like to move on to the next subject? Because I have something to say about the pyramids.
The pyramids. I mean, I am very intrigued. I do think his argument, the problem with Rob's argument is it's a great point, but it also starts leading us down to very philosophically heavy points about, well, you know, I mean, even right now, could both of you be simulations I'm talking to? Stuff like that. I mean,
CIA agents. We were planted to bring down the system.
Well, right. No, it has nothing to do with it. For one of us to say that ours is ultimately the proof or right would be wrong, because I'm taking my information from a book. He's taking his from a YouTube channel. There's nobody on the ground there right now showing us the picture and saying, this is what it means. I know that for a fact.
Let's talk about your theory about the pyramids being made with a 3D printer. Can we discuss that?
Hold on. That's not the point of a debate. A debate is for him to ask the questions, not to take what I've said and try and debunk it. Because what you've done now is you're going through this and you're picking out points of my argument and then basically trying to say, well, that's not right about that. That's not right about that. That's not how a debate works. A debate is back and forth. There is no, I get to look this up before you get here.
Oh,
and
I'll
then
give
he
you
gets
that.
To look that up.
But if we're going to be talking about the Egyptians and we're going to be talking about them having an advanced civilization, I want to share how I believe that the pyramids are a great feat of.
Okay, you know what that is? I will allow that.
Portrayed as being done by some.
Okay, let's do it then. You know what? Let's get into this. I'm very curious because I've had a lot of people on that have disputed that the pyramids were possible. It makes no sense the way they could have been built. It seems like it's just the way the bricks line up perfectly. No one seems to have a great explanation. At least they say nobody does.
How about the rock quarry being 60 miles from where they were and carrying 6-ton to 70-ton boulders? How does that work?
That's kind of crazy. David Daniel Gonzalez, how were the pyramids built? Let's hear it.
The same way that the Temple of Herod was built, with millions of slaves being forced to move boulders with whatever technology they had at that time. So they use cedars, or they use, you know, whatever. There's examples from documentaries where they show how they would cut stone and they would use sand and rope. And the type of rock does cut easily is some type of quartz. And then there are people who have used pulleys to be able to move as much of as a garage. So if you have the largest amount of people that you have conquered, the Egyptians were the first great civilization, and they had conquered a huge span of land. They had tons of people at their disposal. And you have one madman or saint, whatever you want to call the king, who is intent on making something happen, just like the cathedrals of Europe, just like the temple in Jerusalem. You force everyone to do your will, and then you bring about something that's spectacular, but it's also caused a lot of suffering, a lot of destruction to get there. And if you have all the time in the world, the pyramids in Chichen Itza and the Mayan ones or the Aztec ones, they were built using the same type of technology. And some of them are more nice than others. Some of them are more sharp or whatever. But that doesn't necessitate any type of future technology, any type of technology that we have now. It's just you have someone with a huge idea and all the people and all the resources at their disposal. And it took them hundreds of years. So just like the cathedrals. So I don't see why it's necessary to bring in the outside factor of aliens or ancient civilizations that are more advanced than us.
Let's take what you said and turn that on its head. Those monuments or temples that you talked about didn't have the perfection of the pyramids. So right there, and you're talking about taking it an objective thing like a garage, which is built of wood, not stone. and pulling that on pulleys. So, you know, are they doing it in sand? How are they pulling it? You can't use something like that to say that what I'm saying is contradicting in that sense, because it falls on its head. There is no perfection in these specific temples that you talk about that were as immaculate as that particular brick that was laid for the pyramid. Those pyramids in South America, they look nothing like the with the shape and the smoothness. They look nothing like the ones in Giza. The ones in Japan or China, they look nothing like it. It didn't have it. It doesn't have the same type of structural integrity in the sense that it's that smooth that you can't slide a piece of paper into it. And this is weathered now. How many thousands of years? And you still can't. And you still can't. And you're talking about these people, especially in South America, where the rocks, they literally built these pyramids in the mountains where the rocks were right there. How do you get from a rock quarry that's hundreds of miles away to where, you know, and it's not even the type of stone that's in that area. It's from a totally different area.
Can you substantiate that, Rob? Is that documented?
That's documented. That is documented proof. It is written everywhere. And I even have an article I could pull up right now that says slaves did not build a pyramid by CBS News, mainstream media. I know I don't believe it, but all the way. But
yeah,
they're talking about that.
What do you think about that, David Daniel? The thing about the quarries is interesting.
The landscape could have been totally different. They could have had rivers and streams that helped them move stuff around. There's so many, like, I'll give you that there's missing elements. And there was nothing more in the world that I would want for all these Graham Hancock ideas to be true. As a kid, I used to love when, you know, the movies about the hollow earth and all this stuff. It would be awesome, you know, Alien versus Predator kind of scenarios. But it goes back to, if it's truly an amazing technology or a alien type of thing, they would be lasers, they would be some type of thing that we're not familiar with. They are very strange that they have this weird path that goes into the middle of the pyramid and it keeps the pharaoh in there, whatever. It seems like a waste of space. They could have made it hollow and had all kinds of stuff inside. So it's a very strange, out of the ordinary stuff. But I think that that's part of the problem, is that when something doesn't fit, it has to be, it's almost like religious people, they say, if something doesn't make sense, it has to be supernatural. No, it's just, we don't know enough to be able to go there. So I've seen times where if it wasn't God, who was it? And people say it's the aliens. Now it's a little more fashionable to say, well, it's not God, it's not the aliens, it's, you know, these superhuman civilizations from Star Trek. I really don't, like, how do you counter something like that, that is so far back and there's no proof, like really strong proof that can be displayed?
I have a question for you, David, actually, about belief in the nature of these supernatural things. You are.
Can I interject very quickly?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Before we go into another topic. So you're saying that there's these elements that are missing, and those elements don't disprove me and they don't disprove you, but they don't prove you or prove me right. That's the problem. That's what this is all about, is, you know, we're bringing evidence to light, but there's these missing elements that you say would sound great, but there's no way that you can prove whether it's either one way or the other.
Hmm.
So how are you going to tell? You can't. That's what you can't say, things are not right, or you would love for them to be true, and not look at it from both sides like that, because we don't know. And that's the key. So for me to be wrong and for somebody else to be right, that doesn't work. Again, on its head, there's certain elements that are missing, that because it's strange, it's unexplainable. So how can one way be better than the other? Or more accurate than the other, shall we say?
Right, right. Do you have a response? My next question is sort of related to that.
Well, but it's like an agnostic person that says, I won't believe this until it's proven. Every agnostic or atheist that I've interviewed on my show has that baseline is actually the best line. And you can say, well, you're being judgmental, or why are you saying that?
Because, I'm neither of those at
because
all.
Because we come from a world of superstition and medieval distortion of reality. And until the Enlightenment, until the scientific methods were implemented, we would be worried about demons or other beings under every rock. So now for people to go back to that type of magical thinking and have everything connected to some type of unprovable thing, like it just goes back to that, like hollow earth, flat earth, alien civilization, all that stuff are things that are not fully proven. So if they're not fully proven, how can you build anything on top of something that it is so shallow in its foundation and wide in its reach? Like,
what is your proof that the slaves?
The same goes for your argument too. The same. It's the same. All of it. It's the same thing. You have just as much proof as I do. So there's no way for you to sit there and say that I'm either thinking agnostic or what was it, magic building, what all that. That's offensive.
What is the proof that the slaves built?
To somebody who does research and puts their time and effort into that, for you to discredit that at that level and say those things is offensive. I'm not going to lie about that. And I'm not trying to be a dick either, but that's the truth.
Why is it called
fringe? You can't say...
The reason it's called fringe...
What?
It's because it's not...
I didn't call it fringe. Listen, somebody else... Wait, somebody else claimed that fringe.
I definitely did, but, you know, that's just for marketing purposes. But, I mean... You know, I mean, well, it's easier for people to digest. I mean, it's hard to... there are a lot of archaeologists. I mean, I've had people on my show that have told me many stories about archaeologists that get instantly discredited or completely cut out of the community for presenting evidence that would contradict the mainstream narrative. I mean, what are we supposed to do with that stuff, David?
Doesn't make it right.
Okay, just so
doesn't make it right.
So let's an example from history. Galileo, Copernicus, all those guys, heretics, everybody hated them, they wanted to kill them, and then they were proven right. I hope that one day all the people in that conference, all the people in Ancient Aliens, all these amazing writers and popular leaders of the French community, I hope one day they're all proven right. But until that day, it's all speculation.
As is yours. So yours is just as much fringe as anybody else's.
Well, let's get to the other topics, because there are some things that are very concrete that I want to see if Greg will bring them up.
Interesting. Well, we're going to get there in a second. I do want to philosophically, this is a philosophical question for you, David. What makes you so, as someone that does practice a Abrahamic religion, you believe in it. What makes you so sure that your perspective is right versus someone that goes full into aliens? Why would you consider your practice more tolerable or something that you could follow versus somebody else?
It's not a spiritual arrogance, or Martin Luther King used to call it almost like religious pride or something like that, when someone like lords over their views over you. It's more going back to, you know, the experiential aspect of life. And if you're only a rationalist or only a skeptic, you live a very lonely, sad life. So in my view, you look at things from a logical perspective when you start viewing the universe. So if you separate the two perspectives for the universe, one is that it came about in a natural way, and the other one is that it came about in a metaphysical or supernatural way. One that makes sense for me is that it's because not everything can be explained, and that goes to Rob's perspective. And then from there, what kind of deity or reality do we live in? Do we live in a cruel one that is all about power, sex, and money, or do we live in a good creation that is meant to help us grow and become better? If we live in a cruel one, then God or the universe is just doing this for his amusement, and we're all trapped in this game. If it is a good God, then the things that we experience, such as truth, righteousness, justice, are all expressions of this reality. And the more we get closer to those, the more we connect with him. So to me, it's a choice to pursue that type of perspective, but there's still a lot of unknowns, and there's still a lot of things that are out of our purview. And what a lot of theologians would say is that we can apprehend the existence of God and the existence of the supernatural, but we cannot comprehend it because we're limited in our ability to do that. So that's where I'm open to some ideas, again, because the rationalist perspective can only go so far. But you have to use your visions and your experiences have to make some sense, and they have to be logic to a certain point. If not, it turns into a clown show. So we can get more into like specifics of that, but I think that's the basis of religious philosophy. And that's where you try to take the world, because all truth is God truth. So when you look at the world and the universe, it's part of the experience of seeing what's reality and how we go about it through our connection with God.
So are you using the faith theology or the scientific method? Because those are two contradicting things, and you seem to be using both of them to what you want them to be.
Well, people try to make them completely separate, and they are separate in some sense. Like in the physical world, you have to follow the scientific method, but there are things that you cannot quantify, such as love, such as truth and goodness and stuff like that. So those human elements that we experience, and you can say they're all brain, firings or whatever, those things that unite us as people, the things that we experience that are outside of the scientific realm, I think are important. Again, if you shed yourself from that, then you become a very bitter person who just everything is a totalitarian or unitarian, and there's really no purpose. So finding meaning in our experience is what I think that faith does.
I think you're making an assumption on that last part. And also, personally, you may not have experienced it, or your life hasn't experienced it, but to say that to discredit other people's because you haven't seen it is narrow-minded, in a sense. It's not seeing everything. You're taking it through this theology that's putting you in this bubble. When, you know, sometimes, just like I said, because you haven't seen it yet, or you can't find it to be any type of right, doesn't mean it's wrong. That's the problem. You're using scientific method to basically prove your religious theology, and they're two separate things. There's empirical data, like we've talked about, and then there's your truth through your perception of the world, and they're not the same. They're not the same.
No, I'll give you that. So there's different ways to look at things. But if we talk about conspiracies, then we can talk about how do you go about finding out if those are true or false.
But that goes with everything, not just conspiracies, not just faith, because somebody who isn't of the same faith as you is going to have a different theology.
Sure.
And then they're going to use a scientific method to prove their theology right and yours wrong.
David,
but it doesn't make it any more right or wrong. That's the problem. Right.
No, I that is a tough position. I mean, I would say right now, David, there are hundreds of people that have claimed to make contact with UFOs, probably hundreds of people that have been abducted. What do you make of those experiences?
Like I shared with you in the show we did about UFOs, is that it's kind of like an exorcism. If someone says, I have a demon, or my daughter has a demon, or something like that, if you jump to the demon conclusion, then you can cause a lot of harm. And there's people who actually died when people are not giving them medical treatment. But if you jump into the scientific approach, like the Catholic Church has, they send a psychologist, send a counselor, social worker. They do exhaust all the different means that are acceptable to society. And then they move on to the mystical perspective. I feel
But
I feel that the folks in the UFO community, they do the opposite. They go to the.
That's not true. You're painting a broad brush.
Well,
and
what it seems like to me is that if it's
not your point of view, it's all speculation. And that's what Omar said in the comments. It's the same. It's exactly right.
Let's get to it. Let's not make it personal. Let's get to some of these issues, because some of them are very earth-shattering problems that can be brought up related to that. So
we're talking about political things too, but everything we've discussed so far has been.
If there's individuals who have seen a UFO and had an alien experience, you're gonna take that like any. That's what mom is supposed to do. They're supposed to study it. They're supposed to document it. There's evidence they can, and then it's there. So if they unlock the Area 51 or they unlock the FBI records about that, and it correlates, then we have a case for alien takeover of the world. But there was nothing before. Like, until they started doing that, it was all out there. So I'm glad that there's some people who are actually trying to take. They have a plan. All I want is a plan and something that can be backed up.
Well, same can be said about the theology of the Book of God, with sure. angels being seen, and they can sure. document that, but nobody knows how true that is.
For thousands of years, people have been trying to figure it out, and they still haven't been figured out, so I'll give you that. But again, what method are you using to find your truth? So we can go to that, if you like.
Everybody's method is different. Everybody has their own way to get to that spot. So there's no right or wrong for that at all. There's no right or wrong.
So when
it's about research. You could do research. You could take eyewitness account. You could take, basically anything.
And yeah, Omar just brought up a good point in the comments. He said, what do you say about the 50 kids who saw a UFO landed in their field at their school? I mean, I am curious, David, when you hear of these mass sightings, these collective group hallucinations, and they are more recent rather than just the traditional, we saw the burning bush or something like that, yeah. when it's very recent. How do you, if it's not that, how do you explain it?
You know, the Fatima, there was, three kids, and there was 500 people that saw the Virgin. And then if you say more recent events, it's still an unknown. I told you my theory about the Roswell thing, and you can say, well, they talked to someone who talked to the alien. I saw this this documentary where there was a lady that was having tea with the alien and giving her books to read and all the stuff. And again, it's just one person who wrote it down or passed it on. So this story of the children, has it been fully documented? Has their proof been cataloged? Has it been brought to the authorities? Has it, like, there's so many elements that need to go there, and then we can have a serious UFO. And if you guys have a serious group that does that, I would love to partake. I would love to look at all the evidence. It's like evolution. You talked about aliens versus apes. I can tell you that I've seen the fossils, and I've seen the different theories and all that, and I still feel there's a missing element from the evolutionary record. But again, he's going to say, well, that's your opinion. Okay, fine.
But no, wait, you said I said aliens and apes?
It was
that was something I was saying.
What exactly did I say?
He didn't say it. I was sort of, that was also the marketing. I think this my marketing of this debate has screwed up things a little bit. Well, I just meant in terms of there is, I mean, I did an interview with Stephen and Evan Strong, who are going to be at this conference that really spurred this debate, Forgery Unmasked, which Omar in the comments, he's the curator of, the host of this. Stephen and Evan Strong, I did a podcast with them. They presented lots of what they consider evidence, replicas of skulls, showing that, yeah, this just isn't human. It does not seem to fit in with the narrative of traditional chimpanzees, gorillas. They also made a really interesting point about how the way faces evolved. Something doesn't make sense about the idea that if you look at the way apes actually turn into humans, the idea that we each have different faces, there's something missing there. So that basically they presented a lot of evidence. So I'm going, okay, so on the one side of it, people think there are aliens, and Stephen and Evan Strong in this case believe in the alien origins in Australia. And then there's the out of Africa theory, which is more Darwinian, evolutionary, that sort of thing. I mean, that's the broad view. I put those as a dichotomy. I'm not sure that actually should be the dichotomy, but I am curious what you think. What's missing in evolution, do you think?
What's missing is the forward pattern, because when you see mutations, they're usually negative, and they affect the way that the creature is able to survive. So now you have mutations that are going up towards perfection or towards a more advanced being. And so there has to be a push, like something or someone has to be pushing forward. And that's where the alien idea would make sense, where they came down and like the movie Prometheus, they implanted their DNA or they made love to an ape or whatever. So the pattern forward, but then the pattern forward is not as perfect as it's supposed to be. I mentioned that in another interview that I did, is that the cells and the viruses are the most adapted beings in the universe that we know of, and humans are very fragile. So why would you create a being or bring about some animal that has fears and confusion and stuff like that, that is really hard to take care of, when you have these super powerful beings that were there from the beginning? So it doesn't fit the idea that everything's moving forward.
I got something on that too.
I've always wondered that, actually. That is a point that I've brought up frequently with some of my guests. Rob, what is your point on that?
First, to say that mutations are always backtracking or making it more vulnerable. Look at the polar bear. Came from the brown bear, extended its neck so it could go through the ice and hunt the seals. It has a white coat, which is thicker than the brown bear, so it can live in those sub-zero temperatures. So evolution doesn't always go backwards, one. And if we're talking about these all knowing beings, right? Being it, why would they make mankind so fragile? So you would say the same thing about your faith. There's this all knowing being. Why would he make man so fragile as well? So you could put that on both sides of the spectrum. One, and two, man wasn't always that weak. It's a lot of the processed foods, the GMOs, and things like that that have turned man's immune system into a bottomless pit that doesn't work anymore. Back in the day, men used to never get sick like that until, of course, the Black Plague came. But there are certain instances where it has happened. But generally, if you look at the bones of the people that they're digging up from past times, they're a lot sturdier. They're a lot thicker. They're better. So, I mean, if you're going to say that these all-knowing beings came down, why did they make man fragile? Why did your God make man fragile? He's an all-knowing deity and powerful as well.
There's an answer for that, but I don't think you want to hear it.
Is there an answer?
Well, so we would be dependent on him. Like, we wouldn't be these super strong cavemen, as he's portraying, that the Neanderthals and all those guys were like gorilla-like warriors or whatever. And there are mythological stories about the Nephilim and things like that, beings who are half, you know, whatever. So, but it goes back to, if we're going to make it a debate between a theistic perspective and whatever other perspective, we can go to that. But there's so many other topics and there's so many challenges. And, you know, microevolution, where an animal is able to mutate to become, you know, adapted to their environment, that's something that even creationists believe in. So,
I was posing the question because it's like you, when you talk about this all-knowing being, you look down upon it as if it was the alien side. But then when you turn it around and your belief, it's held higher. And I think they should be held. I think they should be held at the same level.
What stops one from being the other? I've told that. I had a Christian ufologist, and I said, "You say they're demons. You say it's God. Why can't it just be two alien groups fighting each other?" And he couldn't answer. So let's call it.
But that doesn't mean he's the only one with that knowledge either. Just because one man couldn't answer it doesn't mean it's the end of the story.
Okay. This is interesting. Look, I want to circle this back to make sure we get to this, and we'll have to do it in a way that's coded. You know, look, Rob, when Rob was on my show, he talked a lot about the origin of this situation we're in. Global pandemic, if you will. Did I say plandemic or pandemic? I don't know. But yes,
don't
the global...
say that. Don't say the PL word.
I may have said it
booted.
I may have said it by accident. David, in your opinion, what's going on with this virus? Where did it come from?
You know, it's not my job to try to figure out where it came from. I think it's important to see how can we get past it. A lot of people that have issues with whatever information has been provided don't have a plan. It's all stay away from the vaccine, stay away from the mask, stay away from things that are community decisions to be made to be able to overcome this plague like other plagues. If you look at the Spanish flu, how was it overcome? It was through social distance and mask wearing and stuff like that. It's sad that 100 years later, we're going through the same thing and people are fighting that. But there are a lot of elements about this pandemic that seem out of the ordinary, and it's scary. And you would hope that the people that are out there are looking out for you. But I've seen how the PPE works. I've seen how the vaccine has made a difference, and I have experienced it with the type of stuff that I do. So for people to just deny all the stuff that has been out, it seems reckless, because we need to come together to overcome this challenge. And the friend of mine that I was debating for months on Facebook did not have a plan. His whole plan was just let things be, love on people, don't let a microorganism destroy your life. And I have issues with shutdowns too and things like that, but you can't completely detach from the team effort that we're doing to try to overcome this.
Interesting. Rob, what is your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I can break it down. And the vaccine is what's called an mRNA, which rewrites your cells, right? So if we're looking at what that does, look at the AstraZeneca version of the vaccine, which has just been taken off the market in Europe, Italy, England, France, because of the side effects. And I actually have stats right here, if you want to hear them, on what it actually does to the people that take it. So let's get to those. If we need,
I mean,
if we need empirical data, I have it, and it's right.
Do you believe this is a depopulation agenda?
I think so. Yeah, and that's not just me saying that. That's multiple people saying that, which is going to be easy to say. Well, that's not true. Obviously, it is true, because it all started in the United States. If you want to get down to brass tacks, we couldn't work on it anymore because of the moratorium that was set by this country. So the NIH shipped it to Wuhan with $3.7 million to keep working on it, because it was already gain of function. And if you don't know what gain of function means, it means it's super communicable. With that being said, it all shoots back to Agenda 21. They just talked about it at Davos and Klaus Schwab. They just talked about all of it. They just said it in a different way. This is what, you know, when they talk about equality and equity, all of that has to, it's so layered in so many different levels, this Agenda 21, that it's exactly. And there's Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050. We can keep going. These groups come together with these narratives, and you can dig even deeper how from 20 years ago, they've been writing about this in the Rockefeller Foundation white pages. I mean, it's all there. It's all there. Go to RockefellerFoundation.com and look at what their play is for the future. They talk about this specific topic, pandemics to control the people. It's all there. It's all there.
Interesting.
Everybody kept saying, we're not going to need a fucking passport to get vaccinated so we can go on planes. Now we do. It's coming. It's already in the works. It's already in the works. So let's get to the AstraZeneca, which is one of the examples that was rushed without clinical trials on animals, because for the last 20 years, they've been trying to perfect an mRNA vaccine, and it's killed everything, which is why when you listen to what the people that are actually concocting this, as in Bill Gates, he's asking for an amicability because he knows it's going to hurt people. He even says it during an interview. He even says it, you know, but I don't think a vaccine should do more harm than good. If the survival rate of this specific flu is 99.6 or what, even 99.4 to give you a range, that's less than the flu.
These are a lot of points. I guarantee, David, do you have a rebuttal to this? I want to make sure that we get some of that in.
Well, you know, this is, again, it's not about getting personal or going after political heads or individuals that people find virtuous and that they look up to. But in your last conversation, you guys mentioned that the previous president brought about the vaccine and in no time, and then don't take the vaccine because the vaccine is the Julian praise for doing good work, and then ingest it because it could kill you. So which
one? It can be both. Doesn't have to be just one. Because it got it done super fast doesn't mean I'm going to take it. For those people who need that security blanket and need to take it, that's fine. It's for them. But for somebody who's completely healthy with no comorbidities, just because you praise somebody for doing something for people doesn't mean that, you know, he's the one who actually made it. Any side effect goes to the company that actually produced it, not the president. So it's great that he put these things in position to get it made. But ultimately, the fallback of why I'm not taking it is because of the pharmaceutical companies. And let me just tell you this. As of March 4th, the UK government has reported this. And you can find this on the www.gov.uk publications, coronavirus 19 vaccine. Blood disorders from the vaccine, 2,033. Cardiac disorders, 1,032. Congenital disorders, 3. Hearing disorders, 713. Endocrine disorders, 10. Eye disorders, with 12 people going blind, 1,242 people. Gastrointestinal disorders, 9,360. Okay? Genereal disorders, 26,391, or general disorders, whatever you want to say. Liver disorders, 17. Immune system disorders, 466. Infections, 1,863. Injuries, 393. Continued investigations, 965. Metabolic disorders, 525. Muscle tissue disorders, 11,565. Neoplasm, 20. Okay. Nervous system disorder, 16,107. Associated with pregnancies, 29, which is one of the what the insert tells you to not do is take it while you're pregnant because it's rewriting your cells. And that actually goes to the baby at that point. So psychiatric disorders, 1,235. Renal urinary disorders, 187. System of reproduction disorders, 338. Respiratory disorders, 3,575. Skin disorders, 6,042. Vascular disorders, 992. Deaths, 212.
This is all from the vaccine that just came out that people have taken?
This is the AstraZeneca vaccine by itself. That's not Pfizer. That's not none of, that's not any of them. And that's only in the UK.
Thank you for sharing that,
Rob. What is your response to that?
What do you do when there's been 2.6 million people who have died from the pandemic? How do you go about overcoming?
That's inaccurate. That's inaccurate. What you just said on it said is inaccurate. The CDC has come out and said that of the coronavirus, and because of the coronavirus, of that number, 6% is actually died of the coronavirus. CDC said that, not me. Also, when people were dying from gunshots, people were having heart attacks. If they tested you after you had already deceased and COVID came back, you were labeled as a COVID-19 death. Dr. Birx said it during a press conference. She said that. Okay, so let's keep going.
You can't take back bad examples where you have people who are twisting the numbers, like Cuomo. You said Cuomo was messing with the numbers.
Oh, he did. He absolutely did.
You can't take people breaking the law, they should be going before Congress. They should be.
It's a CDC guideline. The entire country was doing
your narrative. You're not taking all the other examples.
Explain.
Yeah, what's the other half?
If your narrative is that the vaccine is bad or the coronavirus is not as bad, and you're only going to focus on the so-called reported cases where people said we had to put that the guy who was overweight and had diabetes and heart problems.
This isn't cases. This is deaths. This is not cases. We're talking strictly of death.
The other
part was cases from or side effects, shall we say.
What is the solution
of the vaccine?
How do you bring about a resolution to this problem?
I am not a pathologist nor a virologist.
It's really easy to
wait. You aren't either. So if you
it's really easy to criticize scientists and say they don't know what they're doing, and to point all the bad mm-hmm. things that happen with the vaccine, all the bad things that happen when people report things improperly. But how do we overcome the problem?
that's not, listen, I'm not going to speculate on how to overcome something that I am not versed entirely on exactly what this virus is, how it works. That's not for me to do. You should be able to look at those people who are top tier scientists like Fauci, who actually sold the virus in the first place to China, or Dr. Birx, or all the rest of them. They should be able to tell you what it is. And if they don't know, they should say that. Also, you're talking about something that you're saying is so bad. Why does it even need a solution? It should work itself out. If all the numbers are as I say they are, they're a lot less than any other disease that we have going on right now. It's going to fall to number 50 on your worry list. So that, but, how does that, it doesn't
that's
work.
The narrative that was being pushed, the narrative was being pushed that magically it would disappear, that it was like the common flu. It's not like that. There's people dying left and right, and everybody that is watching the show has had somebody who's been affected by COVID. So to say that is the same as a car crash, to say
I haven't had anybody affected by it. Well, not one person lucky. In my family.
You're very lucky, and thank God for that. But you know, I've seen many people who have respiratory problems, who barely made it, people who have died, and then
did they have any other comorbidities, or was it just COVID itself?
Now there's a plan. Now there's a way to move.
What plan?
You said that there was a terrorist attack that was thwarted, and there was a biological weapon. And you gave us the plot of Mission Impossible 3, that is a chimera virus that is being unleashed on the world. Like, where is your evidence for that?
Can you prove it's not? Can you prove it's not? You're saying what I'm saying is not true. Can you disprove it?
Ask any geneticist, and you cannot mix different viruses and make them all turn into a chimera.
It doesn't.
That is fiction.
That is not fiction. That is not fiction.
And the same thing you're saying, that the babies are...
Here's the easy way to do this, right? If you're disputing what I say, cite specifically, like I just did, on specific things of where Sarah, the narrative is different.
The president of the National Society of Genetic Counselors said that there's no such a thing as rewriting the cell with a vaccine. That's impossible. There was an article about many women are now afraid of infertility because of disinformation related to the vaccine. There's an article, and you're going to say the Washington Post is owned by Bezos, who hated it.
That's bullshit. That's a mainstream media. They just had to redact an entire conversation dealing with President Trump. So when did this? Hold on. First off, when did the article come out? This specific article. Cite the date, because that matters. Because as we get further along, they know more and more.
Okay.
And if you're talking about from the beginning.
So let's talk about the lack of leadership related to that.
We're not talking about that. Don't jump the subject.
It's very important. It's very important.
It is important, but I asked you a question and you're not answering it. You're dancing around. When was the article written?
Let's pull it up. But you're claiming that you know, you say that you're against propaganda from the mainstream media.
Yeah, I go by this.
Now you're pushing
CDC. I'm talking about the CDC. I have not said anything about any mainstream media outlet giving me that information.
Right,
that is you're using all propaganda government from websites the and the CDC. So, okay. What you're saying is not true.
You're saying I'm
getting it from a propaganda media, but not one media site was credited in my discussion.
Okay.
None of my stats are from the actual media. That is from doing CDC research,
the CDC,
governmental filed. Research.
When was it filed, and what's the date for that one?
That was from March 4th. I said it. March 4th.
Okay.
All those side effects, March 4th.
But you're talking about as they're testing the vaccine.
AstraZeneca. That is one example of a vaccine. They all work the same, pretty much. Okay. The efficacy is right around 2% of each other. So what's the difference? They're all made with mRNA. And what that does, if you don't know, you're saying it doesn't rewrite your code. It makes your cells produce a protein that doesn't normally make it. It doesn't normally make that protein. So obviously it's rewriting your cells. It's making your cells do a function that it doesn't normally do. Now, the other thing that we could talk about is all the autoimmune responses because of that fact. Now your body's making a specific protein that it didn't make before. So now what they're talking about when it comes to pregnancy is that protein can attack the ovaries. It can attack the placenta. And also, It actually says on the insert, look up the insert for any COVID-19 vaccine. And it says, do not have sexual contact for 30 days while getting it. That's because it will give the baby brain damage because it's rewriting your cells. And the Chimera virus is completely doable. I don't know where you got that from. That's a geneticist, not a virologist. So what is a geneticist going to tell me about what? Virology. That's not his field. That's not his field. There have been top virologists who said this is a Chimera virus, which means that it's taking the cold and flu with the delivery system of something like AIDS. I don't know the specifics, but that is what a Chimera is. Not just all these viruses put together. A Chimera virus, if you define it, it means that its functionality is different. It, while the virus is different, and it gets these traits from different viruses per se and different delivery systems.
David, do you, I mean, he's thrown a lot at you.
It's, you know, we can do this all day where it's like, who are these scientists? When did they post it? Stuff like that. So that's why actually, I wanted to do it.
It's 10:30, so I have to go, but I'll let you respond to that as long as you need. And then I have to sign off because I said 10:30 was my time.
We might have to do a follow up to this.
We can. I'm always down to do it. Always.
We can do a follow up, but I just want to convey that, you know, I looked up some of the things you mentioned, and you mentioned the UN Article 14, and it doesn't talk about anything about using the police to take away your rights. It talks about giving abilities for the disabled to be able to move around. So I want to know.
So what maybe kind of I got the article wrong, but it's in the UN Constitution. You can find it, and I'll find it for you, and I'll put it up there. Maybe I got the article wrong.
Because that's the thing.
You're just taking a point. You haven't answered the question. Do you have a rebuttal to what I just said? And then we can talk about all that stuff.
If you throw 20 things related to people that you have found, we need to see where they're from. You mentioned Revolt.com, that what has been debunked by some people. You mentioned the article about halal. Organs, that's not how halal works. It comes from a Taiwanese group that is trying to push stuff, and then it was redone by another website that has been debunked by Greenblatt, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner. There's so many things that are.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
You it means if nothing. You pick
people from CNN won the Pulitzer Prize. People from CNN won the Pulitzer Prize. It's garbage. The Pulitzer Prize isn't what it is. It's okay, okay, well, man. Listen, you can answer the question at hand. No, wait for the next one. We can do it face to face. Okay.
Okay. Hey, look, this has been it did get a little heated, but you know, look, I mean, I know you have to run, Rob.
I gave him time to answer it if he wanted to, not talk about everything else that was about a presentation I did, but we can go over that too at another time. But do you have an answer for what I've said about the COVID-19 situation? That's all I asked. I didn't ask what I did in a presentation on Open Loops that had nothing to do with you, that you decided to come onto a comment board and say that you'll take me on head to head at any time or something along those lines, which I'm here now. So let's talk about what I just discussed.
You set up a straw man. You said that the virus is minimal.
There was no straw man. No straw man.
Straw man. Completely straw man.
How is it? Because you think it's more serious than it is when the numbers prove that it's not as serious as the flu itself. Have we ever locked in for the flu? Have we ever shut school down for the flu?
We have hospitals full of flu patients that can't breathe, that can't move.
But you're not talking about shutdowns. You're not talking about shutdowns. You're not talking about canceling schools. You're talking about vaccines.
Let's talk about shutdowns, cancel culture, and all that. It's problematic. All that stuff is problematic.
I'm not talking about cancel culture. I'm not saying anything about cancel culture. I'm talking about shutdowns of the society.
Shutdowns are very problematic. How are people supposed to survive with no income? That's unbelievable that would happen. But
we agree on a few things.
In
I'm not
Texas,
disputing
they set
that.
Up a metric that if 15% of the population was hospitalized because of the virus, that they would shut down. That is a metric that makes sense. Liberals and conservatives came together and they came up with that metric. That was a great compromise. Willy-nilly shutting down all of California and stuff like that, that is that is unfeasible.
That has nothing to do with what we were talking about before when it was the stats. But I understand. We do agree on that. I believe that there is a certain percentage at which you have to stop everything.
You're saying I'm making a straw man.
You're saying I'm making a straw man about what?
The virus is a biological weapon. Why is it not that bad? Like you said, it was a biological weapon that was.
Was it created in the first place? Do you know?
I never said
it was a biological weapon. I said I think it is.
Okay, so if it is,
I didn't say it definitely was. Weapon,
is it a super crappy one that didn't do anything, and we're just playing around?
If you would have listened to the entire episode that we had before, I explained what the next step was.
So to shut down, to build the one state, one government, and to put us all in camps, like where is this going, and how
is
this?
That's not what I said. What I said is that they're giving everybody the vaccine now because when they release the next one, it's going to do what they say it's going to do and kill that many people. So we have to be vigilant about that. So there's no straw man here. This is what Bill Gates himself said. I'm not worried about this one. I'm worried about the next one. So I'm taking it off what the people who are creating the vaccine have said themselves. That's not a straw man. That is an actual threat that we have to be leery about and watch out for, as per the person who made the vaccine himself.
How do we come together? To be vigilant and to how do we keep these leaders accountable?
Again, I'm not a virologist. I don't know how to keep people accountable like that. That's not my job. My job is to expose the truth of what people have said and what the stats are as of right now. So those are the stats. You should not have a vaccine where they're on public television and national television saying that they need to be accommodated for the amount of people that were going to get injured or possibly die with a pandemic, especially one that they're overblowing through fear porn. If it's not the pandemic, it's something else. It's a crisis here. It's a terror attack there. It's all fear porn. It's to get your vibration down to a level where they have you running scared. And then you're going to say, what can I do? Tell me what I have to do. And that's when they're in control. That's when it's over. That's checkmate. And I'm not going to let society get to that point. I'm going to be vigilant about that. And the way you do that is by giving people the numbers and giving people the facts, giving people the stuff that they won't tell you on mainstream media.
Wow. That was a great final statement. David Daniel Gonzalez, do you have a final statement about how we should act at these times? We'll get into this again. We'll have to do a follow-up, but I'm curious with all the facts left and right, conspiracy, non-conspiracy, CNN, what do we trust? How do we move forward? How do we get through this time of chaos?
I'm all about people being literate in the communication they take in. So we have to dig deep and we have to find sources that are verifiable and that are trustworthy. And there is a lot of manipulation and there is a lot of propaganda on both sides. But the most important thing is that we have to also work as a community. So when a challenge like a pandemic comes, we need to work with the people who are specialized in those systems. And if it comes out that they're corrupt, that they're manipulating the numbers, that they're doing things that are inappropriate, they should be put in jail and they should be held to the highest degree of standards that they agreed to do, you know, the Hippocratic Oath and all that. The same goes for politicians. We cannot live in a world where one guy or a group of people have all the answers and no one else is willing to, they're not willing to work with anybody. To me, that is a chance for destruction and completely counterproductive. So the people that have proven to be loyal citizens, you know, loyal to the Constitution, they're the ones that we should listen to and we should work together with them, as well as looking at creative ways to overcome challenges. So I think investing in education, investing in the ability for people to have access to all this information. And, you know, people get mad for certain platforms being limiting some people's ability to speak. But the reason that some of that has happened is because there is a lot of personal attacks and things like that, that you have no recourse. When someone comes after you, how can you report someone or overcome that? But we have to go back to, you know, Google was started by the government working with different companies to be able to go through the internet. So we live in a world that it is controlled to a certain point, but you have to believe in the ideals that we all agree on, and you have to fight together to keep them pure. Any system can be corrupted, any form of information can be misinterpreted and manipulated, and it's up to us to be able to keep things accessible and to build up our minds and our hearts to be able to go through all this as a community and not become sectarian war groups with each other. It almost feels like we're in a water world or one of those apocalyptic movies where everybody's against each other and you don't know who to trust. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I appreciate that perspective. We're going to have to do this again. We definitely did not hold to the 2-minute format, but you know what? I knew we wouldn't. That was just the straw.
It was,
man.
Close. I mean, we definitely were good at not talking over each other.
No, you know what? I'm very happy. I thought you both were very civil. It was a great discussion. Very interesting, thought-provoking things. Everybody do your research, look into this stuff. And hey, you know what? Both of these guys are so open that if you want to personally challenge them on anything, they're ready. I think they are. Yeah. These guys, anytime you want to talk to Rob Yox or David Daniel, that's what I appreciate about both of you gentlemen. You're ready to take a challenge and actually face it instead of run away. So I thank you for the open discourse. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to the Great Debate on Open Loops. Again, I want to thank David Daniel Gonzalez of Mystic Skeptic Radio, Rob Yox of Full Spectrum Universe. You can check me and Rob out at Forgery Unmasked, March 27th through 29th, where it's a whole lot of things that David was arguing against tonight. Ancient aliens, Atlantis, all kinds of origin stories about alternative views. It's definitely going to be fun. And this has been Open Loops Conversations That Bend. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on again.
Thanks for having me. And I appreciate you, David. I do. And I appreciate your points of view as well. I do.
Thank you, Rob.
Awesome. There you go. The War of the Worlds. The War of the Words. Part one has finished. Do we really get anywhere? I think so. I'd like to thank Rob Yox, David Daniel Gonzalez, for delving deep into the discussion. Rob, again, will appear with me at Forgery Unmasked this weekend. Check it out. Thank you, Rodney McGilvery, for the theme music. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, follow it on Apple Podcasts. Give it a rating. Give it a positive word of affirmation. Please, I appreciate your words of affirmation for the show. I do. Much love. Talk soon.